Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Hey sis, and welcome to another off-season bonus content episode of the Prescription for Purpose podcast. I wanted to first hop on here and tell you guys happy Thanksgiving. I know that it's Thanksgiving Eve. I know y'all is in the kitchen cooking greens, beans, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkey. Okay, I know y'all are doing the things unless you can't cook. Unless you can't cook, friend, then you're bringing the sodas, the plates, the napkins, right? You still got a role to play. So God bless y'all. I'm so grateful for y'all being here in this space with me. I'm grateful for all of the OGs who have been listening since we were God Goals and Girl Talk and have lived through the pivot and the change with me. I'm grateful for all of the new listeners here. You guys are just so important to the Lord, and I'm so grateful that He sees me fit to play even a small role in your relationship with Him. And I don't take it lightly that you all come back and listen to me. I'm grateful for y'all. I really, really, truly am. And so I just wanted to say that. I wanted to express my gratitude for every listen, every like, every comment. It gets hard sometimes being a leader and doing what God has called you to do. I do it with gladness, and I don't think that sometimes y'all realize how much a comment or an email or whatever the case may be, how much it really can encourage us as leaders. It's been a rough year for myself and my family. We've had, you know, a couple of deaths in the family. I actually had a cousin pass away a couple of weeks ago. A lot of y'all know that I dealt with kidney failure. And then about 2 weeks ago, found out that my kidneys were kind of trying to move back in that direction. And so it's just been a long year. There's a lot of silent battles that the Lord has allowed me to be victorious through over the last 11 months. And the fact that y'all show up and listen to me, the fact that y'all are just here and a part of this community, I don't take it lightly. And I'm just grateful for y'all, man. That's all I wanted, friend, was to tell you I'm grateful for y'all. Tell y'all some things that we have coming up. A couple quick church announcements. We just switched platforms in our membership community, The Society. And this is a shameless plug because I don't know if y'all can tell, but we are in a space where you need to be in a community where you are being discipled. I don't mean being fed sermons. I don't mean being fed a bunch of rah, rah, rah. I mean like people who actually love the Lord and are looking to do life with y'all. And so we have our annual fast coming up, and I'm wanting to invite y'all to just come and check us out. The membership is $19.99 a month. We have never changed our price. There's multiple hosts, prayer calls, daily devotional. I mean, there's a lot of value there. And so if you've been looking for community, I implore you to do the 2-week free trial. Check us out. The new platform is dope. I absolutely love it. And I know once the new year kicks off, it's going to be a thing. We're actually participating in a 12-hour prayer-a-thon coming up here December 31st. So I'm really excited about that. We're partnering with the Mornings with God community to be a part of a 12-hour prayer-a-thon. I was able to speak last year at the prayer-a-thon, and it was just phenomenal. And so I'm really excited about that as well. Also, make sure that y'all go over to our YouTube channel and subscribe. I have so many things that the Lord has given me down on the inside of my belly. I'm so excited. Y'all are going to have the ability next season to like leave me voicemails. It like there's just so much that I have been working on while also trying to simultaneously do school. So I'm so excited to really feel solidified in this direction where we're merging faith and mental health and really doing and living life the way that God has called us to. I pray that you have been blessed by being part of this community. Even if you don't join the society, you can download the Prescription for Purpose mobile app, which is going to be getting some major, major updates soon, where we are pivoting again to where there's going to be mental health education and spiritual wellness information there. And so I'm grateful that God has just entrusted me with such a mission for such a time as this. And I pray that you are also being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and fulfilling the things that God has called you to, even if that purpose is not attached to a platform. Okay, friend? Even if it's not attached to a platform. And so I am just dropping this off to y'all with these church announcements. Wanted to give y'all some real time, hey girl, what's up? And I'm actually going to go ahead and move into our bonus episode, which is part two of a video that I did over on YouTube. So if you want to watch the video, I'll click the link in the show notes so you can be there. There's tons of videos on my YouTube channel. I'm just slowly pushing them out here. So like I said, if you want to be caught up in real time, go on over there. This is part two to a video that I did about how to hear from God. And I'm talking specifically about building discernment because it's critical in you being able to know if it's you, the Lord, or the enemy. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and hit it. I love y'all. I pray y'all have an amazing time with your family. I pray that you just take a minute and let the Lord know that you love him and that you're grateful for him. I'm grateful for you, sis, and we'll talk soon. Hey, friend, and welcome back to my channel. I'm really excited today because we are following up a conversation we had a couple weeks ago on how to understand if it's you, God, or the enemy. This is kind of like a part two to that. I'll link that video down below, but I wanted to talk about something that I briefly touched on in that video in terms of building discernment. And it is such an important aspect, not only to be able to understand the difference between you, the Lord, and the enemy in terms of what voice is speaking, but it's also important to build the skill of discernment so you don't get mollywopped by the devil all the time. Okay, so you're not getting packed out by demons because you don't understand the difference between, is it the Lord? Is this something I'm pursuing? Or if this is the enemy? And so the way that we do that is through building discernment. And so when y'all asked me for a part two, I wanted to be very mindful to circle back to this. So I want to read the scripture that I started with in the last video, which is Hebrews 5:14. It says, but solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern between good and evil. And I want to talk about what discernment is, okay? Because if you're new to the faith, you may hear this word, but I don't know that we always do a great job at explaining this is what that means. Discernment is, by definition, it comes from this Greek word diakrino, and it means to have thorough judgment, particularly discernment, which distinguishes lookalikes, things that only appear to be the same. One of the sentences in my study material is said to be able to see things that look good but smell bad, right? Because I could see somebody across the room and they may look cute, but then you get up on them to hug them and they musty. Okay, they smell terrible, right? Discernment is kind of like that. Like you look good, but you stink. And it's so important that we are able to understand that because the enemy is the king of the counterfeit, right? And discernment It's our ability to think critically under God's rule, under God's direction, under the direction of the Holy Spirit. So it's critical thinking that is really submitted to the Lord. That is what discernment is. And because the enemy is the king of the counterfeit, we have to remember and understand or shift our focus or our belief from him being there with a pitchfork and horns, and understanding that when the enemy presents something to you, presents a temptation to you, it's going to be that man. Okay. It's going to look like all of your specifications, but it's going to be something off. There's going to be a red flag, and it ain't going to be the blood of Jesus. Okay. You are going to see or be presented with that job opportunity that may look good, but it's not the Lord, because it's calling you to compromise in a way. It's going to be that, that friendship that may look good, but it goes against what God is calling you to do in this season. And so you have to be able to understand and comprehend that the enemy is going to present stuff that looks good. He's not going to be like, I'll go rob that bank. Right? Like, we'll be like, no, right? That would be too easy. But the Bible talks about how the serpent was more crafty or cunning than all of the other animals. So in the garden, he presented Eve with a proposition that looked good. The scripture said that it looked good to her eyes. She was not using discernment, right? It looked like it was good for food. Mm-mm. So this isn't always about what's right and what's wrong. It's about what's right and what's almost right. And because it's only almost right, it's still sin, which is missing the mark by definition, because it's missing God's standard. So we have to stop thinking like this is a battle between right and wrong. I think that a lot of times we can get caught up in the sins of the world, the egregious things that they're doing in the world. And there's a lot of shock value in that. Girl, it's the world. Why are we surprised? Right? We need to be praying for them, but it is the world. So I fully expect for a celebrity to be on stage with devil horn. Like, yeah, it's the world. Right? But in our day-to-day interactions with people, with job opportunities and business opportunities, with people that you listen to and influencers, are you using discernment to be able to see what's right and what's almost right? That's where we need to really allow that to kick in. And so I want to read this from my study material. It says, as we grow in faith, and as we grow in sanctification, we progress to having these reliable felt persuasions, which reveal key distinctions between lookalikes. Thus, it is not faith or feelings, but rather faith with feelings. We have had this narrative fed to us, faith over feelings. Mm-mm. The way that we need to do this life is faith with feelings, because God equipped us with these feelings. So that unction, that gut feeling, right? There's a word in the Greek that we use for the word mind. It's nous, or N-O-U-S, nous, nous. Mm. But it means, by definition, it means kidney, like this literal translation. And it's this visceral feeling, this gut feeling or understanding. And so you have to learn how to even submit your feelings to the Lord. I'm going to do a video on the function of feelings, because I think that it's a misnomer that we've accepted as truth in the Christian community, that we are just to ignore our feelings. No, you can't be a slave to your feelings, but we do have to steward them appropriately. Okay, it's equally as wrong for you to stuff your feelings. We have to steward them. And discernment is the fruit of that. Being able to properly discern and really understand and allow the Lord to communicate with you that way is important to our life as believers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, friend. Yeah. So I want us to talk a little bit more about this whole concept of faith and feelings. And like I said, I'll do that in another video. But before we get there, I need to talk to you about something that we do often, okay? Now, we talked a little bit about how the enemy is the king of the counterfeit. And the first thing I need you to understand, and I'm going to say this in every video, is that you are going to have to spend unadulterated time in this manual for life, okay? In this instruction manual, you have to know it. Did you know that FBI, people like agents, people who work in surveillance, counter-surveillance, the way that they're trained to spot counterfeit bills isn't by being trained on what the enemy is doing or what the counterfeiters are doing. Even people that work in retail with purses and shoes and things like that, that is not how these people are trained. The way that they are trained is that they spend so much time with the genuine thing. They spend so much time with the, whether it's $100 bills, whether it's purses, whatever the case may be, they spend so much time knowing the product. They know the make, the model, the kind of stitching with the FBI agents. They literally study the texture, the color, the watermarks, the security features, micro printing, color shifting ink. They're so familiar with what real money looks like that when they see the fake, they're like, this don't look right. They literally have them count for hours and then slowly but surely start to do these practical exercises, and it helps them really learn how to identify inconsistencies. But the method emphasizes detailed observation and intimate understanding of authentic thing. And that enables them to be able to quickly spot counterfeit when you're in these real world scenarios. And so the goal is to train their eyes and their hands to instinctively recognize what's genuine and to detect what's false. A lot of times we spend so much time heresy hunting and looking for the false thing that if we all just read our Bible, if we took every word that we received, if after every video, you should be going back to the word of God and double checking what I say. How do you know that Hebrews 5:14 is Hebrews 5:14? Because I said it. Friend, I love you, but that's too much trust. You better go get your Bible and double check me. Okay? Period. We spend so much time just because someone sounds authoritative, because someone is sitting in a pulpit, because someone is in a position, that we don't check the fruit. And that leads me into my next point. So the first point in building discernment is that you're going to have to get comfortable with the authentic. There are plenty of videos on this channel and all over the internet, child, where you can find out how to study the word. There are so many methods and methodologies and all of that. But before you learn any of that, just commit to learning it in context for yourself, biblically exegeted, filled by the Spirit, okay? The truth of God over all your traditions, over everything that you think, all of it. You have to be wholeheartedly committed to the word of God in order for you to build proper discernment. So you need to get in the habit of even checking your pastors, checking people that you hear on podcasts saying stuff. We just be accepting things as truth and they are lies. Even small things like colloquialisms, like, God doesn't give you more than you can bear. Says who? Is that what Job said? Okay. Because the scripture says, okay, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, I believe it is. Yes. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. The situation may be more than what you can currently stand. It's probably going to be more than what you can handle, because doesn't the Bible say that in our weaknesses, his strength is proven strong to us? The temptation, you always have a way out, but you have to use your discernment to identify that clearly. But the situation might feel like more than you can bear. A lot of times it is. That's why you need help from the Lord. The only way that you build strength, that you build muscles, is when you add more weight onto the bar. So how are you going to gain strength in the faith if you're not put in situations that are more than what you can currently handle? You see how something that small can be a counterfeit thing? Because somebody out there right now is mad at the Lord. You said you wouldn't give me more than I can bear. And he's like, I had never said that in here. I never said that. Right at the peak of more than what Job could, stand, his little raggedy wife came in and was like, why don't you just curse God and die? Right? That temptation, he didn't fall to. Because he knew that God gave him a way of escape. So even in things like that, things that we believe, we have to go to the authentic thing, because we're just accepting anything as truth, and it's not. And I touched on this a little bit about being enamored with people's positions. So outside of knowing the word, the second part of this is that you have to be ready and able to not be so enamored with gifts that you don't inspect fruit. The way that you are able to rightfully discern at its most basic level, okay, yes, there are nuances to things, is that you are able to identify gifts versus fruit and inspect the fruit. That's it. I want to give some context to this because I don't want to assume that everybody know what fruit is, okay, and gifts. We make a lot of assumptions. So when we talk about fruit, fruit is the evidence of the Holy Spirit actively working in our lives. And so it's seen through our godly character and actions that we take as we glorify God. So as we continue to grow in the faith and submit to the leadings and the promptings of the Holy Spirit, we will grow in what's called the fruit of the Spirit. And you can, you'll see the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. It says, "But the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things, there is no law." Then we have spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are God-given abilities intended to serve the church and others. So these are things like teaching, prophecy, healing, and they don't necessarily guarantee spiritual maturity. These are things just given. Okay, this is a feature on the iOS update. We all have spiritual gifts. And there's lots of scriptures, like in Ephesians 4, it talks about the gifts. But I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 5. It says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord." Here is why.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles. Discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Thanks to tax reform, American businesses have opened doors across our communities, investing in manufacturing, workers, and equipment, spurring millions of new jobs with higher wages and better training, and setting a new record high in corporate taxes paid to the U.S. government. America's businesses open doors. Tell Congress to keep the door of opportunity open. Protect and strengthen tax reform. Paid for by Business Roundtable.
You have to inspect fruit before you get enamored with the gifts. Because, friend, the gifts of God are without repentance, meaning he don't do take backs, meaning that you could completely not serve the Lord and still be gifted. We see that in the world. We see it, that God has given people gifts. He doesn't take them back, and they don't use them to serve him. And so I think it's so important that we know that gifts can be misused, gifts can be faked, but fruit reflects alignment with God's nature and evidence and is evidence of transformation through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit. Gifts are already given to you, but unless you're rocking with the Spirit, you're not going to have the fruits of the Spirit. You cannot produce the fruits of the Spirit on your own. And so that's why if you're going to build discernment, right? So let's go back to the enemy sending a counterfeit, and it's that man. And he checked all the boxes. But you notice that both of y'all supposed to be saved, and he keep trying to be grown with you. But we're both supposed to be saved. Okay. He don't have no self-control. I'm gonna pray on this. And then you notice other areas in his life where it's like, somebody made a mistake and he lost his cool. This man is not patient. Why are you talking to them like that? This man is not kind. Right? If you're looking at the fruit, it's like, I hear you saying, Lord, Lord. But the Bible says that you shall know them by their fruit, not by their gifts. Okay? You shall know them by their fruit. Matthew 7:16. You shall know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? No. I'll answer the question for you. No, they're not. And a lot of times, we equate platform and position, things that where their gifts made room for them and not necessarily the fruit of the Spirit making room for them, because the gifts of God are without repentance. We equate that to godliness, and that cannot be the furthest thing from the truth. So you're out here listening to people on platforms, but you are not in a position where you're inspecting fruit. When they make a mistake, how do they recover? How do they behave? Can't nobody tell them nothing? Are they nasty? Are they rude? Or do they come on and do they own it? Do they show humility, gentleness? So it's not even about perfection, but even in their mistakes, there should be fruit that is evident. And we get so wrapped up in gifts, and we are out here being bamboozled and packed up by the enemy, just getting mollywopped and drugged and turned every which way but loose, because we are so enamored with the gifts of God that are on this person's life, but we do not inspect the fruit. And so you're not going to be able to clearly know whether this person is of the Lord or not unless you're inspecting fruit. That means you have to get close enough to see. This is why it's so dangerous to put people online on a pedestal. Girl, you don't know us. I love y'all, but like, y'all don't know me. I don't know y'all. I am who I say that I am, but that don't mean everybody else is. So you can enjoy the gifts. You can enjoy the way that I teach. That's a gift of the Spirit, teaching. You can enjoy that. Notice real quick. Notice real quick in Galatians 5:22-23. I'm going to read the fruits of the Spirit again. It says love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Notice how speaking in tongues is not a fruit of the Spirit. Because it's a gift. It's a gift of the Spirit. So just because you can speak in tongues doesn't mean, oh, they're automatically safe. No, that means that that's the gift that they have. Praise the Lord. But there are people who are speaking in tongues and they will cuss you out in English. That's not giving self-control. That's not giving gentleness. That's not giving kindness. That should raise a red flag. And so we cannot, because they can sing, because they can dance, because they teach well, because they're good orators, because they can do all that. That does not mean that the fruit is good. The enemy will put counterfeits in the church. Right? Church hurt makes total sense as a warfare tactic. I'm going to put people that are not of the Lord inside the church to offend the body so we can cause division in the body. I'm going to put people in pulpits that abuse the body, right? So that way people get church hurt and never want to come back again. And discernment is the way that you are able to minimize and or mitigate the way that people try to take advantage. If a pastor says something, it could be that they misspoke. They're human. But you should be able to go and ask them. You should be able to say, hey, pastor, I have read this and I'm not getting the same thing that you taught. If you're met with offense, it's not giving love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It would be a red flag. Now you take that back in prayer and ask God to reveal these things to you. It don't have to be a one-off, but we're going to be like, okay, let me go take this back to the Lord. And then God may show you something else and you're like, okay. All right. Sometimes this takes time for God to reveal the totality of what's going on. But understanding the difference between gifts and fruit and knowing that you need to study fruit, you need to examine fruit, we can be so happy, okay, by the gifts. The gifts are supposed to edify or build us up. Praise the Lord. Okay, I know some saints that will pray the paint off the walls. Okay? Praise God for them. Praise God for the teachers and the apostles and the prophets. But do you know what these gifts are? Like, have you studied the gifts and have you studied the fruit? Just biblically. If you studied the gifts, you would know that prophecy isn't just telling the future. When you study it in the scripture, when you study it in the Hebrew and in the Greek, it's not just about foretelling or like telling the future. Most prophecy is just foretelling what the Lord already said. Most prophecies and most prophets were not liked. Why? Because they're telling the truth. Repent. Repent. Hey, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Hey, God is about to lay the smackdown. Okay? Like, hey, 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 this is what the Lord has said. There are not many prophecies. Most of the prophecies in the Bible are just saying what God said and not telling things about the future. Most of them are not that. And ain't none of these prophets out here like, you get a car, you get a car, you get a car. So if you hear a prophecy and there's no scripture in context, I don't mean just reading it and then saying whatever. I mean, in context, some of y'all favorite internet prophets, I have listened to them, went to the scripture and be like, first of all, that's not even what that means. That's very out of context. Sometimes you can take the principle of a word of a scripture and it can apply, but it'd be just, no, that's not what that means. Because everything that I hear, I go back and do what I'm telling you to do. And sometimes it's very subtle. So there was a guy that I used to listen to. And me and my friend were sharing this video. And I'm listening. And literally, I'm getting dressed for work. And he said something. And I felt Holy Spirit go, just like that. And so I messaged my friend. I said, hey, girl, I got to sit down with this text because like I'm still listening to the video. But as I was getting dressed, something ain't sit right with me. I'll let you know when I get time to sit down and open my Bible and open up my software and do the deep dive. And by the end, I had this long drawn out note that I sent to her of like, yeah, this is what the Lord was actually saying. And this is how this was positioned to tickle the ears of people. And I was like, maybe he just made a mistake. Literally is what I said. Maybe he just made a mistake, but we'll see. Literally within a couple of weeks, more things unfolded. And I was like, okay, that first feeling of you're off is correct. I won't be listening to this anymore. Like, as I continued to follow and hear, I'm like, another word came out. And I was like, that's not what this means. And it was always close, but it wasn't what it meant. And then eventually I was like, okay, God did a big reveal. Not about me being offended. I ain't got to go and do no 300 word essay. It's just me knowing, yo, that's not what God is saying. And that doesn't mean that these people don't hear God. They do hear him. That's why they may have some things that are right or kind of right, because it's not that it's completely off. Remember that in Matthew 4, when Jesus is being tempted by the enemy is quoting scripture. He's quoting scripture out of context. And Jesus, being completely man and completely God, knew the word because he is the word. Period. Okay. He knew the word authentically and knew it in context to be able to refute something that looked good. The word is good, but the way it was applied, it was musty. Okay. Because what else do we expect from Lil Lucy? Nothing. So I need y'all to understand that this is really about you having the spiritual maturity to give God glory for the gifts, let it edify you. What all of that, the fruit though, not that people are perfect, but that even in their mistakes, what is the fruit being displayed? Okay. Because it's really important to know that God, his priority is that internal. Okay. Eternity, internal, external. God values internal character work. And so I want to read you this scripture, one that talks about how we know that there are going to be people who are operating in their gifts, but are not connected to the Lord. Matthew 7, 22 through 23. Many will say on that day, this is Jesus speaking, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Leave me, you who practice lawlessness. Okay, our gifts are valuable. God gave them to us. They're valuable. However, fruit cannot be faked. Fruit cannot be faked. And it's so important that you understand that. And so one of the ways and one of the stories that I love in the Bible is in Acts 16. And this is a story of a girl who had a demonic spirit. And I'm going to read it. It's Acts 16, 16 through 19. It says, one day as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. She followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved. This went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated and or annoyed is another word for that, that he turned around and said to the demon within her, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And instantly it left her. Her master's hopes of wealth were now shattered. So they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. The slave girl
was filled with the spirit of divination, followed them around, declaring, "These men are servants of the Most High God coming to tell y'all how to be saved." That was what they were doing. Her words were accurate, but Paul discerned the spirit behind it. Just because it's facts doesn't mean it's truth. Just because it's facts doesn't mean it's truth. I can speak a lot of facts to you about this, this, that, and the third, and who you are and who you aren't. But if I'm not giving the truth in love, it's not truth. I can speak facts. And we have to know as believers the difference between factual information and the truth. And how do I know that? Because those things are very close. They look alike, but they are not the same. She had this supernatural ability to tell fortunes, but her gift did not come from God. So she wasn't even a prophet. This wasn't even a gift. This was a demonic spirit. And so you have to really even be able to discern, like, do you have the gift of prophecy or do you have the spirit of divination? Okay. 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone into the world." The way that it's summarized often is test the spirit by the spirit of God. They lack fruit. She lacked fruit. While her words appeared to affirm Paul and his mission, her actions caused disruption and chaos, showing that her gift lacked the fruit of the spirit, which includes peace and orderliness. God is a God of order. So when we're operating in the spirit, there's going to be order. This may challenge a lot of people who like to take things that are chaotic and go, "Oh, we just flowing in the Lord." There's still order. Even when we go off script, right? Because the spirit is moving in a different direction, the direction is clear. It's not chaotic. Because God is a God of order, always. Then Paul recognized that although the girl was speaking facts, her spirit was not aligned with the Lord. And discernment allowed him to see past the outward expression, past her words, and address the source, that demonic spirit. Okay. And so it's really, really important, that we understand why, first off, we need to study the gifts of the Spirit. We need to understand the fruit of the Spirit, but why fruit is the deciding factor when it comes to discernment. Because Romans 11:29 says, "For the gifts and the calling, the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable." And every time I read this scripture, DMX immediately comes to mind. That man, it is very clear, okay, that Earl, I'm gonna call him by his legal name, that Earl had a gift and a call. He had a gift and a call. When he was on IG reading the book of Ecclesiastes, it felt right. Like, I'm like, oh, this is what you're supposed to be doing. That's why when he would pray, it would captivate people and really like grab people up, because the gifts and the call were still there, although he was not living under submission of the Holy Spirit. Imagine what heights the Lord would have taken him to had he submitted that gift back to the Lord and edified the body of Christ. It makes me, like, to this day, it'd be making me sad, because I love me some DMX, right? The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Irrevocable. And so it's so important that we understand that you have to know the evidence of God's work: love, peace, patience, kindness, joy, gentleness, self-control. You have to know, because Paul was able to operate in the authority given to him by the Lord because this girl's gift, right? It was bringing distraction, and he was able to use the authority given him, to him by the Lord, to restore clarity and to restore order to what they were doing. He was not so gassed up by her declaring like, oh yeah, that's us. That's a Everybody that's cheering you on is not there because the Lord said to be there. It could be like this girl in Acts 16. The presence of her gift was disruptive when the Bible says that our gifts are to edify. But that comes from you knowing this right here. And so I pray that y'all have enjoyed this video, that you understanding what discernment is, understanding what the differences are between gifts and fruit, and why fruit should be what you are judging, is going to help you better understand if something is being presented to you by the Lord, or if it's you, or if it's the enemy. Let me know in the comments if there's something that you are unclear about, something that you want me to dive deeper into. If you have enjoyed this video, go ahead and click subscribe. I'm so close to hitting the 1,000 subscriber milestone, and like 80% of y'all aren't subscribed. Okay, I love you, friend, but go on and click that button though. Okay, I've been putting a lot of work into this. All right, I've been working on stuff, working on my camera, letting imperfect stuff just be posted and having to close my eyeballs. Like, it's been a thing. This has been a thing. Figured out why my camera was freezing. Like, I'm learning, okay? Hit subscribe because you know you like this content, friend. Okay? I love you, friend. I pray that this blessed you. I pray that God is just glorified and giving you new insight, wisdom, and revelation from this video. And I'll see you next time. Bye.